And welcome back. Just took a phone call from David, listening in Payson, Arizona. Always great to hear from the listeners and where y'all are and what station you're listening to us on. We're talking a little bit about hurricanes. And, you know, of course, when we mention hurricanes, of course, the first thing that comes to everybody's mind is Katrina, right? You know, the big one, the big one that got in New Orleans.
I can never watch the Weather Channel when there's something going on without muting it first. The commentators just drive me nuts. They all sound like that guy. This is the big one, Elizabeth. It's coming. It's coming. You know, it's just they sensationalize every single minute of every. And the funniest one is they were in New Orleans covering one a couple of years ago. And then, oh, this is going to be worse than Katrina, blah, blah, blah. And behind it, you could see some people just walking down the road with their hurricanes in their hands. They were still out partying.
They're still out partying. Well, you're seeing plenty of that in Charleston this morning on the TV news. The guys in their raincoats and the microphones, and they're standing out there trying to stay anchored to a telephone pole or whatever so they don't get blown away. But you know what? A lot of people forget about Katrina. Katrina really, as big a storm as it was,
wasn't the worst one that year.
It wasn't the majority. The storm was gone when the real problem occurred. And the levees being backed up, the storm surge came and went past New Orleans into Lake Pontchartrain. And as that water began to drain back out to the Gulf, that's when the levees broke. That's when New Orleans flooded. And it was the flood of Katrina that caused so much damage. And boy, it did. You know, we were down there. We took about 60 people from our church, and we were down there for 2 weeks. And, Romy, they had the largest track hoe I've ever seen going right down the middle of the streets, and it would take its arm and its bucket, and it would reach over the back of these houses, and it would just pull them off the foundation. The whole house, what was left, he was just pulling these houses into the center of the street. And then the next block over, a big old Cat D9 bulldozer was just loading it into trash trucks, and they were just clearing entire subdivisions.
It was about 2 years later that I was in New Orleans after Katrina, where my cousin took me over to the Ninth Ward, where it was just a big grass field, and for whatever reason, they had left one home that you know wasn't originally there, because it was on top of three cars.
Oh, my goodness.
So, for whatever reason, they just left that one right in the middle, and it was very strange.
It was strange, and they took those bulldozers and all the cars that were entrapped by the water and stuck on the street. They just bulldozed them in underneath all of the freeways and the overpasses, and, I mean, there was just room to get one car through, and all the other cars were just stacked up in rubble. It was unbelievable. But the thing about that, Katrina, that people forget, in 2005, New Orleans was hit with Hurricane Cindy in July. Then it was hit by Hurricane Dennis 5 days later. Then it was hit by Katrina a month later. And then the most destructive hurricane of that year hit Houston, Lake Charles, and Sabine Pass, and that was Hurricane Rita, a month after Katrina hit New Orleans. Can I read a story? Is that okay? Can I read a little story? Just last night, thinking through my memories of hurricanes and living through them and talking to some friends in Charleston who were expecting Matthews to hit this morning, which I guess it has, I'm going to read you a personal survival story of a family surviving Hurricane Audrey.
Now, so this is year?
1957.
I thought it was earlier than that.
1957. Okay. And the Weather Service had said, and this is down right along the Gulf Coast of Louisiana, below Lake Charles, Cameron, Creole, the Little Chenier's, and Pecan Island. And the radio was telling people, you have until tomorrow. Make sure your car is packed, get a good night's sleep, and head north tomorrow.
And you know what's really funny driving around that part is the road has hurricane evacuation route signs.
Yes.
But what's so funny, between Lake Charles and about and Lafayette, that 14 is the only stinking road around.
Yeah.
You need to be told this is the way out.
Yeah, that's right. This is your
that always
only...
cracks me up. But this is the only road for miles. Of course, it's the evacuation route.
Unless you're in a boat, right? Chasing the storm surge. So here's a story called 24 Hours of Hell. From the beginning, says Steve Broussard, living up in Pecan Island, I had a bad feeling about Audrey. And my wife's parents, so Steen and Melissa Broussard, did too. They came over to be with us and help take care of our seven children, Estelle, Michael, Larissa, Veronica, Beatrice, Steve Jr., and Carolyn. Another son, Brent, was spending the night with relatives. The storm hit our house harder than other parts of Pecan Island because we were between two high levees, and the tidal wave literally gushed through those levees, picked our house up, and raced it like a speedboat out in the middle of White Lake. When the attic floor began to break up, we tried to crawl onto the roof. My father-in-law, Sosthene, had been holding the baby Estelle, but a huge wave broke over them, tearing Estelle from his grasp. Sosthene and his wife caught onto a piece of roof that was floating by, holding Carolyn, Larissa, and Veronica. But almost immediately, a high wave washed the grandmother, Melissa, and little Larissa into the swirling water. There was an electric wire hanging on the side of the house, and the grandmother was able to climb back. It was raining so hard, the wave 6 to 8 feet crashing over us. The piece of the roof with the grandparents and our three daughters on it simply flipped and flew away. We didn't see them again or learn of their fate until after the storm. Now, can you imagine living through this? It's still in the middle of the night. You were expecting to be able to get up and leave the next morning. The storm hits 12 hours earlier than the weather service was saying it was going to. Oh. So the story goes on. Meanwhile.
I mean, what's your visibility? Your hand in front of your face? You can't.
With that much rain, all the power's out. So
right.
All the oil rig lights.
Middle
the
of the
glow,
night.
The glow of Lake Charles is gone.
Storm, so no moon or sun or starlight.
I mean, I've been out on Pecan Island in a power outage. It's black.
And so I just, it's interesting how detailed this is, but how are you seeing any of this going on?
This whole book is nothing. It's called Audrey, Hurricane Audrey. It's the whole book is families recounting how they made it through the storm. Mm. So here they are. He's just seen a portion of his roof fly off that his father and mother-in-law were on with two of his daughters. That's gone. So he says, meanwhile, as the rest of the house broke up, my wife, Florence, was caught in one of the rafters. And I tried to pull her loose while hanging on to Beatrice, Steve Jr., and Michael. She begged me to go and leave her, but I couldn't. Just then, another wave hit us and knocked her loose. I managed to get the two of us and the three children on another piece of floating roof. As we were tossing and tumbling across White Lake, I saw a quilt floating by. I grabbed it to wrap up my wife and kids. My wife was pregnant at the time. They were all so cold. Sometime during the night, a moccasin crawled out of the quilt and bit my son on the ear.
Mm.
I mean, can you imagine? We had just gone through 24 hours of hell. At least two and maybe more of my daughters had drowned, and now our son, Steve Jr., had been snake bitten by a moccasin. It didn't seem possible that this was happening to us. It gets worse. Steve's head had swollen to three times its normal size. His eyes were almost swollen shut. He looked horrible, and he kept crying for water. Because, of course, you're in a saltwater surge. You can't drink any of the water that you're being drowned by.
Well, and you're, when it gets stirred up, it's just a silty muck.
Listen to what he does. The weather had calmed, and we were drifting toward Pecan Island when I saw a hunting camp. And I decided to try and get some fresh water for Steve at the camp. But between me and the shore was about 100 yards of debris covered with vicious moccasins, maddened by the salt water and striking at everything they saw, everything that moved. I looked at Steve Jr. and knew he wasn't well and needed that water. He was crying, "Just give me some water." So I took a deep breath. I dove into the water, staying under until I thought my lungs would explode, and I prayed I just wouldn't come to the surface in the midst of a den of snakes. I managed to bypass most of the snakes, but I was stomped ashore. As I stomped ashore, an angry cow charged me. So I grabbed a floating piece of 2x4 and just knocked her clean out of my way. I was on a mission. When I pulled the door open to the camp, I saw the floor were covered with Nutra.
And so a Nutra is a beaver-sized rat. And they're nasty-looking animals.
They are nasty-looking animals. There were 8 bunks inside, and they were black with mud. Then I looked closer and saw that the bunks were literally covered with snakes. There were cottonmouth water moccasins on every inch of those bunks. I'd never seen so many snakes in my life, and I was born and raised right here. Quickly, I backed out and ran around to the back door of the camp. Looking in the kitchen, I saw more Nutra and more snakes. I reached out, chopped the snakes away with a 2x4, and grabbed a kettle of water that was sitting on the stove. Hoping fresh water was inside of it, I grabbed it, ran outside, and I started to bail out a little pirogue that was sitting there and row the water back to my family, still floating on the roof.
Well, you got pretty.
That had torn away from their house, which was now demolished.
He got pretty lucky that pirogue was still sitting there.
He got
he wouldn't be able to swim with that kettle back under the snakes.
I tell
so he
you
had
what,
a little boat sitting there.
There was after Audrey, there was nothing left. And if in fact, if you'll Google this, National Geographic took pictures of Johnson Bayou and Holly Beach before and after Rita, and Holly Beach is called the Cajun Mediterranean.
Riviera.
Yeah, Riviera. And it is really, really Cajun. People drive around with tarps in the back of their pickup truck, and they fill the back of the truck with water. And that's a Cajun jacuzzi.
Oftentimes, the Gulf is so silty, you don't want to be in the ocean.
Or you've got one of those jellyfish tides.
So
everything, you can't even touch the
water. To be in the water on the ocean, man. You fill up the bed of your truck and then just go park down by the beach.
But literally every house is gone after Rita. There isn't. All you see, many of the homes in that part of Louisiana are built up on stilts.
Mm-hmm.
And all you see are the sticks sticking up. There isn't one house left. So I can't think of a better excuse than hurricanes to talk about an Arizona staycation, right? Huh? So we're going to take a quick break here for just a minute. We'll come back and we'll talk about Arizona staycations. What are some of the best staycations you've ever had right here in Arizona? Boy, we've got a bunch of them in our family. We traveled Arizona pretty extensively. I'm not a big fan of flying. I like flying, but I just don't like the airlines. Both my mom and dad were both pilots. I've got a daughter that's a pilot. I love to fly, but I just don't like the airlines. So my idea of travel is any place I can get in my F-250. And if my F-250 can get there, then I'm ready to go. That's why we have traveled Arizona so extensively. And when we get back, we're going to talk about what you can do to win your Sanderson Ford, Rosie on the House, Arizona staycation.